All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. What is going on? This is going to be episode 13, I think. Yes, episode 13. Today is Saturday. My wife and grandma are actually up in New York doing some family events, so I'm here with the boys. Successfully put down all three boys. Today actually started out pretty good. The boys were both up at like 7. We got to the diner downtown around, I don't know, 8:15 or so. And then from there we went to the park, which was good. Got them all tired out, came back, made pizza, got them down for a nap. Overall, it's been a pretty good morning so far. Why I wanted to do this podcast is that Anchor has released a new option where you can add video. So I don't know if this is only, if the video is only available on Anchor if you go to Anchor, but I am recording this one as I shouldn't say as I normally do, because most of the subscriber-only ones I don't record on video. This one I will, obviously. I'm going to test this out and get this uploaded today. But something that someone wanted me to talk about, this was one of my Florida guys, was the shitty side of running a small business. I try not to complain too much, but I think that this is something that definitely, if you're thinking about starting a business, something you need to think about. Obviously. And they specifically wanted to know the shit that people don't see or that people don't know or wouldn't think about. So the first thing, obviously, is expenses that would seemingly go unnoticed. You have website hosting fees. If you're selling a product, wow, that camera lens is dirty. If you sell things, you have postage, which is asinine. A shipping software. I pay for a monthly software called ShipStation that helps me with postage and printing labels and all that stuff. I do a lot of video editing for myself and for other people. So I have a full Adobe Suite subscription, which is not cheap. I also pay for additional video collaboration software, which is a monthly cost. I have a photo hosting site that I use to deliver photos to clients, and that is also another monthly cost. I have a business loan through PayPal, which takes a percentage of each of my sales to pay back the loan, which I took right before COVID, or right in the beginning, I can't remember. And I had all these grand plans of, you know, making a ton of stuff and paying it down super fast like I did the last one. This is the fourth loan that I've taken out with PayPal, and I've paid them all down super fast. This one has been kicking my ass. I still haven't missed a payment yet, which has been good. It's just annoying knowing that all my profits aren't going in my pocket because I took out a loan. But that's a loan that doesn't affect my credit, I guess, until I default on it. I'm not sure. Oh, I bought that 1DX Mark II I have, that was purchased through a firm, yes, I know, and that's through KEH Camera. So I think I only have about $200 left on that one. That's a $3,000 camera. I have about $200 left on it. I can't wait to get that paid off. I do this really ridiculous thing when I pay something off or I'm about to pay something off. I'm like, okay, I'm about to be free from this financial burden. Maybe I should just get myself right back into it. That happened with my Jeep when I paid that off in 2014. I had this 6-year-long car payment, $800 a month. And I finally made the last payment. And I was like, I'm free. I have no more car payment. And the first thing that came into my head was that, oh, I should definitely buy a brand new vehicle right now. Thank God I didn't. This video setup is not great. I am sitting on a chair in my living room with my windows right behind me that are completely blown out. This camera doesn't have the dynamic range needed for this, but it is what it is. I was sitting here playing video games, and I was like, you fucking stupid shit. You need to do something productive today. I was like, okay, fine. I also have to pack a bunch of orders today, so thank you guys for those of you that put in new orders. We have new regular mini slaps as well as holographic mini slaps. And my watch is buzzing at me that I need to plug it in. So I'll be right back. We're back. Plugged my watch in, got my water. Where were we? We were talking about things that will go unnoticed
in your business.
I'm sorry I'm yawning so much. I am quite tired, if I'm gonna be real with you. So those were the things that I wrote down that I have to pay for. I'm trying to think of what the other things are that are business related, because I have 1,001 things, recurring payments on my personal account for like streaming software, credit card payments, all that kind of stuff. But I think that's it for things that you may not think. Oh, tax preparation, obviously. Travel costs, I guess, is a big one when I actually am traveling. But that kind of goes with the territory. Oh my God, stop yawning. It goes with the territory and also is something that I should be billing in for clients, but I don't because I'm an idiot. And I shouldn't be running a business. The things that keep me up at night. The biggest thing, when we do pre-orders, those drive me insane. I hate doing pre-orders. I hate taking people's money before I can actually send out the product, which is something that I feel like I need to get comfortable with as a business owner. But it's a lot of times where I falter is I choose to run this business the way that I would like to be patronized as a business. I can't think of words today. And I'm not even drinking. I'm on call. I'm completely sober. I like to do business the way that I would like to see a business I'm doing business with do business, if that makes sense. So here's an example. I go to order vinyl that is out of stock everywhere. I find it on one website that has it. I check it, make sure it doesn't say out of stock. I order it on a Thursday, assuming it'll ship Friday, and assuming I'll have it on Tuesday. They fucking email me and call me on Monday saying, "We don't have it in stock. Would you like to cancel the order?" And I'm like, I mean, not now. I still need that shit. And with that specific company, I'm not going to say who it is, but that has happened to me 3 times. Needless to say, I don't order vinyl from that company anymore. And that's kind of how I feel about with the pre-orders, is that the vinyl example, I feel like they're intentionally being dishonest. With the pre-order, I'm very upfront. I do not have this right now. You are buying this. I do not have it to ship. It's in production. You have to wait. I don't like taking money for something that I cannot ship within at maximum 7 days. So when we do a pre-order, stop yawning. When we do a pre-order, we run the pre-order for like 2 weeks. And then it goes into production. And then it's another 2 to 3 weeks after that of production and then shipping, which just puts you at like a month, 2 months waiting for whatever it is you ordered. And I fucking hate doing that. So that's the one of the biggest things that keeps me up at night. The way to get around this would be to print them myself, but I'm not comfortable in my screen printing abilities enough to do a whole batch of hoodies and sell them at full price. Because what I like to do when I screen print stuff is be overly critical about the prints and then mark them down as I'm printing them. So all hoodies are $45. That's pretty industry standard for any apparel at this point. It's $45 for a hoodie, $40, $45. And I will print it and I'll be like, oop, I can see, you know, a half an inch here on this print is not like 100% crystal clear. There's a teeny tiny smudge on it that honestly nobody would notice. I notice it. And I'm like, okay, I guess that one will be $20. Well, that just eliminates all of my profit for the most part, because that hoodie costs me, you know, $15. Just in bulk, it costs me $15. Maybe if I'm lucky, I get them for like 10 or something. I don't know if they're shitty, but I don't like to use shitty hoodies. Because if you're gonna fucking wear a hoodie, you want it to be a good one. That's a big thing that keeps me up. The other things are taxes. I feel like since I'm a small business that, you know, Uncle Sam is out to get me, when in reality, I think the most I ever processed in 1 year was like 30 or 40,000, and that was only that the number was only that high because that was during the highest year of sales at Built to Heal, and that included money that we took in and processed for the charity. So I didn't have a profit of $40,000. I processed throughout the year through my PayPal account $40,000, and then I don't know what it was, 10,000 or something ended up being donated. But yeah, I guess the most I ever made in 1 year when it was really popping was like 30. Obviously not all profit, that's gross, but I just feel like I'm always doing something wrong when it comes to taxes, and like I don't know what to write off and I'm not comfortable doing it. And I always end up owing because I don't take it during the year. I don't know. I need help. I need a fucking business manager. But nobody wants to be a business manager for free. And that's not because I've asked and they've said no. That's just because I know that's a service that is in high demand that I'm not able to pay for. So the other thing that he asked was, what did the Trap Queen say when you started the Instagram and decided this was going to be your future? That is a funny story, because at no point in the beginning did we sit down and say, okay, this is what we're going to do for the rest of forever. It was just like something fun that I was doing on the side. And as it started catching more steam, I guess we've never, I guess kind of recently we've talked about it where, you know, she's like, I mean, I can quit my job at any point, just let me know when, and we can do 7-slot full time. And it's definitely not there. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. If I had no debt, I think I would be a little more comfortable doing that. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys this. Now that we're talking about money, I finally had my review. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go get the papers that they gave me in my review last Thursday, and I will fucking read them to you. This podcast is all over the place, and I apologize. And I am being too loud and waking this baby up. Yeah, so I'm sitting on the couch here. If you're watching the video directly across behind the camera, the baby's sleeping on the couch. So if you followed my Facebook at all, you know that I asked for a 20% salary raise at my 6-month probation interview or review, which was probably not the smartest thing I ever could have done. However, I have learned that the only person that's going to advocate for your career is you, especially in IT. So with the help of Jason Thomas and my wife, I drafted this fucking phenomenal letter saying why this and that. I have reports and data from our ticketing system. I'm not going to show that too fast because it's got everybody else's names on it. But just explaining to them why I felt like I believed that I should get a raise. For example, here's one bullet point. Exceeding goals in ticket completion and queue management. At the time of the report, I've completed 539 tickets in 148 workdays. And just so you guys have a little bit of reference for what that means, during those 148 working days that started March 22nd, 539 tickets, and the person that was hired alongside me for the same job at the same time on the same day has done 264. So I have been breaking my fucking dick off working here. And I feel like those numbers are just so vastly different that I was like, you know what? We got hired on at the same salary, the same offer letter. I'm going to go for it because I feel like I've been working harder. So I got this performance evaluation scoring sheet. I had 0 below expectations, 4 meets expectations, and 11 exceeds expectations in the different areas that they scored. These are according to the values of the place I work: compassion, agile innovation, energized work environment, outstanding customer service. This one, actually, I'm pretty proud of. I kind of pride myself on customer service. The comment for this one was, "This is a strength area for Angel. We have received compliments on Angel's personality and friendliness in working with users. He is well-liked and handles some of our tougher customers with kid gloves to successful problem resolution. This is primarily for public safety support and is of the utmost importance. I really appreciate this." And that is from my boss's boss, but not the boss. So custom, I feel like I'm not the smartest person at my job by far. I don't even know why I hesitated on that. I'm probably the least technically smart person, but I feel like I've worked with so many different personalities and so many different varying levels of ego that I can still work with someone, whether it be talking them down off the ledge of just being a fucking insane psychopath and being a dick, to, you know, just someone who's 70 years old and can't grasp how to use Excel. So, I don't know, I get a lot of gratification out of, you know, walking out of an interaction knowing that the person now knows more than they did before. Let's see, knowledge of job, leadership at all levels, quality of work, dependability, decision-making, attendance, so the attendance thing really fucking annoys me. I am on time, and my on time is 15 minutes early, if not a half an hour early. And there have been people at work that have gotten, you know, bitched at the one lady that got fired last Wednesday. So she got fired Wednesday. My review was on Thursday, and then I was out yesterday. But she would actually get bitched at for coming in early to do extra work. It was weird. So I'm in, my start time is 8. I would say 80 to 90% of the days, coworkers who will remain unnamed will roll in at anywhere between 8:05 and 8:11 consistently, like on a consistent basis, which just tells me that you're not waking up on time. If you are 6 minutes late every single day, something needs to change in your schedule. Like, you need to set your alarm for 6 minutes earlier, or you need to not stop at fucking McDonald's and get 4 fucking McGriddles. Something. I don't know. That wasn't nice to say because I'm fat. I need to turn this light on now. But attendance and being on time is a really, really big thing for me. If you are always late all the time and we work together, like, you're automatically down like 5 notches of respect. I don't give a shit what it is. That's pretty much how that went. I ended up getting a $6,000 raise on the spot. And then once I pass my Security Plus exam, which I have failed twice this year, that is a very, very expensive $500 test. Once I get that, I will get another $2,000 bump. So I asked for 20%. That would have been $8,400. You can do the math. But this puts me at, I think, 8,000 even, 6 and 2. Puts me at 8 even, $400 less than what I asked for. My boss told me that she asked her boss for the 20% that I had requested, and he said no, strictly for the reason that right now they are doing a salary comparison study or something, she said, and that's going to result in everyone's salaries going up, and they don't want to change my salary that drastically within the period of what they're doing now. And I was like, okay, whatever, I understand. And I was honestly expecting them to counter with like 10%, which I would have taken. From the beginning, I was like, even if they don't give me a raise, I'm not going to immediately walk off the job, but I am going to like put my resume out. And since where I'm at now, I think I'm good. I'm going to update my resume, but I'm not going to be actively looking somewhere else until I get the Security Plus. So where I'm at, the job, they say they want it, but to do the work legally is not required to have Security Plus. Now, if I were to go any sort of DOD job, they, like, legally to work with the information, you have to be 8570 compliant, which means you have to have a secret clearance, which I am eligible for clearance. I had one in the past. It expired. Nothing bad happened. It wasn't revoked or anything. I still have a public trust right now. And then you have to have at least a minimum of Security Plus to meet that DOD standard. So if I had that, I feel like any job with that, I think, would be starting at 50. With my raises and then passing that test, I would be at 50, but that's already asking for a raise. So the other thing I asked them about was upward mobility. Where I'm at now, it's kind of the way I was looking at it was that the job I'm in now would be like forever job. Like someone would have a career at this job. And I'm going to be honest with you, I fucking hate working on printers. And I do a lot of stuff with printers. And I said that in my interview. I said, one of the questions I have for you guys is, do you believe that I have any sort of upward mobility here? Like, can I build a career here? Now, just saying building a career out loud, like, gives me heartburn and makes my fucking elbow hurt. But if I can move more towards the security side of things and get away from the printers and the desk side support and the how do I make my font bigger type of bullshit, then I think I would be a little more happy. I understand where I'm at right now. I have to start back at the bottom. I have to start at tier one, tier two, desk support. I have to, because I've been out of it for so long at this point. I've been out of it for 2 years. Well, Marine Corps career, out of it for 3 years. Went to school, like general school, then tried to get back into it. Had to spend a couple months at Walmart, then got back into IT for 2 years. And was out of it for 2 years, and now I'm back in. So it's, my resume doesn't look great, and I understand, and I told them, I understand that's why you started my salary so low, because I had to prove myself, and I think, no, I've proved myself to you. So let's have a conversation. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I'm excited. At the same time, I have a lot of trepidation about starting a career. I feel like starting a career, I would be giving up on any sort of future with 7-Slot, which I know is not true, but it just feels that way. Like I don't want to buckle myself into this roller coaster and then halfway through realize that I need to get the fuck out. I have no problem quitting a job. It's just I don't want to invest a ton of time, like getting these certs and building relationships with these people, and only to have it all go away and like 2 years. I try to stay at every job for at least a year, except for Walmart. I straight up fucking walked off that bitch. I never do that, but that place was terrible. The people were terrible. The hours obviously were terrible. It was night shift. But anyway, I've spoken on that many, many times. So back to the business. Yeah, Michelle and I never talked about this being like a thing, other than her saying, I'm ready to quit whenever, as long as you say go, I'll quit my job that makes a ton of fucking money. She's worked hard for it. Really, really worked hard for it, but I don't know. I don't think we're there yet. I still need to pay my personal debt down. I just got this, now Michelle's texting me. Are you guys busy? I'm recording a podcast and the boys are sleeping. I don't know what she's doing, but yeah, so we're going to wrap it up here. Let me know what you guys think about the video aspect. This is something new for Anchor. I'm very excited. Very excited that they've put me on their beta or whatever. So I'm excited to try this out. But I love you guys. Thank you. And I guess I'll see you in the next one.